Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Unending Rebuild. Excited to be back with another episode. Today, we're going to be talking about the next division in our divisional review series, and that is going to be the AFC South. Joining me, as always, are Josh Lee and Jared Perlman. Guys, say what's up.
What up, guys? Super excited to talk about the AFC South. I just posted my projections for the standings for the AFC South on Twitter.
How'd that go, Josh? How'd that go?
Jacksonville, the city of Jacksonville wants to burn my house down. They were coming at me with pitchforks, and they are definitely not happy. So I'm excited to discuss my thoughts on the entire division from a fantasy perspective. So excited to get into it with you guys.
Yeah, what's up, guys? Oh, sorry, you go ahead.
No, yeah, I just have to say, I just couldn't believe that reaction to Josh's tweet. It's just like it's a model output. Like, these people are saying that, like, thinking like Josh like called out Trevor Lawrence personally, like it's just a model. Like, it just blew my mind how personally some people took this.
The craziest part is, like, I didn't say a single bad thing about the Jacksonville Jaguars. I did not say a single word about the Jacksonville Jaguars. I didn't even mention them in the tweet. All I did was post the model output, and they're coming at me. They're coming for my neck. It's crazy.
Yeah, like, and whoever said that, you never said model's like perfect. It was just like, we have this model. This is what it said. And like, that's it. Like, people are so pressed about it.
It's pretty funny.
I was just hype that Dez Bryant, reached out and had some shit to say too. That was hype as a Cowboys
fan. That was funny. Yeah.
That was good. That was good. A little bit.
But
he loved the Ravens one, though.
Hey, yeah, he was a Ravens.
It just
boy.
Shows Ravens people squad. Are like, oh, the model's so good, when it, like, they agree with it, and like their exactly. preconceived notions like agree with it, and then it like contrasts what they think, and they're like, this model, shit, what are you doing? It's so funny. People need to go outside, man, like touch grass. It's just like math. It's okay.
Yep. Yep. Hey, I hope the projections are right so that you can come back and screenshot all of their fantasy retweet receipts coming at you, post them, you know.
As a Trevor Lawrence guy, I hope they get more than whatever it was, 6.5 wins.
Yeah.
Well, they can still put up fantasy points even though they're not winning games.
Maybe the defense is just trash.
It's a Jags.
Anyway. Yeah, it would be a good little falling back point for me. If Lawrence has a down year, then Josh could be vindicated.
But, yep.
All right. Well, let's get into our divisional review. So we got the Colts, we got the Texans, we got the Titans and the Jaguars. So this was the division that caused some controversy for our dear friend Josh on Monday. That tweet got like a million views too for some reason. But let's get into our first team. So we got the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts were one of the big movers and shakers of the offseason. They brought in Shane Steichen from the Eagles to be their head coach. Their offense coordinator is going to be Jim Bob Cooter, but Steichen's going to be the one calling the plays. And they stuck their fingers into the rookie quarterback well, drafting Anthony Richardson early there in the first round. So this team otherwise is looking pretty similar. Jonathan Taylor is still going to be the stud there alongside Michael Pittman. And let's see if Alec Pierce can build on a solid first year. Josh, let me move on over to you, get some opening thoughts about this Colts team, see if they can bounce back from a rough season last year.
Yeah, I'm excited for this Colts team. I think that people are a little bit down on the Colts because of all of the changes that the Colts have made this past offseason, most notably the fact that Anthony Richardson, a rookie quarterback, is going to be taking the snaps under center for them. But I actually do really like this Colts offense this year from a fantasy perspective. The five guys that I'm really keeping my eye on and I'm trying to slowly acquire in some of my dynasty leagues is I have a little bit of Anthony Richardson. He's the first guy. Jonathan Taylor, I think, is in for a big bounce back year. He suffered that high ankle sprain last year early on in the season and really never showed that same explosion that he had in 2021. I'm expecting him to put together a pretty good year this year with the offensive line, hopefully fixing all of the problems that they had in the past. Remember, 2 years ago, this was one of the best offensive lines in football. last year they were the worst. So I don't anticipate that same thing playing out. So Jonathan Taylor in my rankings is RB7. And the two wide receivers on the Colts, which I really like this year, and are, like I said, getting pushed down in value a little bit, is Michael Pittman and Alec Pierce. Michael Pittman, he's a target hog. He had, what, like 150 targets last year? And I kind of expect him to retain a lot of that target share. I know they drafted Josh Downs, but Michael Pittman's got the alpha build, and I think Anthony Richardson is going to continue to pepper him with targets. Alec Pierce, too. Alec Pierce, he hit all of the metrics that we want our rookie wide receivers to hit. He hit the 500 receiving yards mark. He hit the 35 receptions mark. He only had two touchdowns, which might be the reason people are pushing him down in value. But I kind of see Alec Pierce as one of those guys that can take a pretty decent step forward this year. And he fits in well with Anthony Richardson's desire to push the ball down the field. Because last year, Alec Pierce had an average, he had a yards per reception of almost 15 yards. His ADOT was even higher. So I expect Alec Pierce to become a target favorite for Anthony Richardson as well.
Yeah, I like that Alec Pierce take. I definitely think with Anthony Richardson's specialty of, you know, that deep ball, Alec Pierce can really has a good chance to be a good weapon this year. Anthony Richardson's probably going to want to throw deep. I think, you know, people are rightfully wary on Josh Downs right now. You know, he's going to be that check down underneath option. And if and I'm staying off Downs because I think Anthony Richardson being a mobile quarterback, you know, it's going to be a little bit harder for him to get, you know, enough volume to be a good option, especially if you're not playing in a full PPR league. But Michael Pittman is good enough, I think, to still be a good option. Michael Pittman is just being pushed down the ranks, and I think that's a mistake. I think especially where he is right now, you know, he's going to be a good value for a lot of owners. People are getting scared because of Anthony Richardson, but he's just going to take a little bit of time to develop. And there's a real chance that, you know, having a star receiver like Michael Pittman is good for his development and it's good for their connection. So I actually, you know, I'm not shying away from those receiving options. Maybe this year they're not the top end talents that you would hope that you know, could have expected from Michael Pittman a couple of years ago, gaining new quarterbacks, but they still have a good potential to boom as players where they're about, like, as where they're valued at right now. So I definitely like looking at the Colts as good receiving options too. Jonathan Taylor, though, I am a little bit skeptical about, like, a RB, you know, top 5 to 7 RB. I know he was, you know, the best running back in fantasy a couple of years ago, and then, you know, being drafted like it and he disappointed, but I'm scared about his reception opportunities. You know, receptions are worth a lot. Targets are worth a lot. With his mobile quarterback, you know, they drafted Josh Downs to also be a check down guy. How many dump offs, I don't know, is Jonathan Taylor going to get? Plus a mobile quarterback may end up sneaking away a couple of goal line touchdowns as well. So I'm a little wary of Jonathan Taylor's upside compared to maybe some of the other running backs that are also going in the top 10. I find myself trying to target them more often.
I was just going to see if Jonathan Taylor actually gets decent receiving work, but he does. 39 is rookie year, 51 that his big breakout year, and 40 last year. I'm surprised by that. Wow. Okay. Yeah, I do see that as a valid point. Kaj, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I was just going to say that I have some concerns about Taylor this year too, for the same reasons Jared mentioned. And, you know, I know he had the high ankle sprain last year, but that's not like a easy injury. You know, that's something that could rear its ugly head again or lead to more issues down the road. But yeah, I'm not quite as high on Taylor because of that Richardson vulture ability. And you just see it time and time again with running quarterbacks. Not only do they run the ball more, I mean, of course, but they kill more clock too. So a little bit concerned with that as far as it goes for Taylor. Now, with Richardson as a passer, I know we talk about perception a lot, but they actually got a quarterback's guy recently in Derek Klassen, who's really sharp. Give him a follow on Twitter, get that subscription to Reception Perception. And he was talking about Anthony Richardson and charting out his throws at Florida. And he said that Anthony Richardson was at the top or near the top of accurate throws in the charting he did for deep balls and medium range. And he was bottom, dead bottom by a good amount for the short range, which I thought was super interesting. And to me, and it didn't, and what Klassen ultimately said was that, you know, the deep ball and intermediate throws are, those are the touch throws. Those are the accuracy throws. And Richardson's got that. What he's been bad at is the short game stuff. And oftentimes that can be the result of scheming. You know, if you could throw a 40-yard bomb accurately, you can throw a 5-yard pitch accurately. But sometimes it's just the scheming, it's the personnel, and it's not always the quarterback's fault, and that's the easier thing to teach. So when applying that to how the Colts are set up this year, I'm really intrigued for how they got Josh Downs, because I think Josh Downs projects to be a slot guy, and I think they want to make it easier for Richardson schematically to use that short game, because he already has Taylor to help him with a bit of receiving, but also just, you know, keeping defenses honest. And getting a good security blanket guy like Josh Downs to complement like your classic big body alpha and Michael Pittman, and more of a speedy deep threat and Alec Pierce. I'm intrigued for how Steichen's organized this team. And then another big body threat too, we haven't really mentioned, Jelani Woods. I think Jelani Woods is primed for a breakout this year. He looked good in flashes last year. There's no reason why Jelani Woods should not be a good NFL tight end. In my opinion, he's just so big and so athletic for his size. And I think Steichen, if he, you know, looks at how the Eagles offenses ran last year, they used Goddard really well. And Jelani Woods is a bigger, more athletic Dallas Goddard. So I think there's a chance that Woods could take that step forward, albeit he's still a little bit of a project. And one more thing I want to touch on, just getting back into that backfield a little bit. I think there's some value to be had with a guy like Zach Moss. He seemed to get a bulk of the carries when Taylor was out last year. And Deion Jackson did as well. But once Moss came in, it seemed like he got at least like the first and second down work and had some pretty significant games with some carries there. So I think he is an interesting person to, like, that's basically free at this point to stash. But otherwise, the Colts are going to be a fun team to watch this year. I really hope Anthony Richardson becomes a good NFL player, because he's going to be like the most fun player in the league if he does. And, you know, I think it's just going to take time. He played like 15 games in college, and he just needs the time.
Yeah, Zach Moss, not a guy I'd be targeting, but I think Anthony Richardson would definitely vulture a lot of that work if Taylor were to go down, but that's okay. I got high hopes for Richardson. The man's going to ball soon enough.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of A. Rich. Guys, you just called Perlman a hater for not being on the Zach Moss train.
Not the Zach Moss train.
I think Deion Jackson is better than Zach Moss, but Zach Moss does have the bell cow Moss, size.
Like, he's like Rojo plus.
Rojo's better than Zach Moss.
Zach Moss wasn't too bad last year.
Yeah, I don't know if I would even call Rojo better than Zach Moss. I don't think.
Yeah, I was about to say, let's not have this conversation. I don't want to.
We'll have a Patreon episode. Yeah. Where we'll talk about Zach Moss. Argument. All right, let's move on from the Colts. Let's get into our next team. We got the Houston Texans. That's the football team in Houston, Texas, and we have another rookie quarterback. Look at this. We have C.J. Stroud drafted. Second overall, and they also added a new offense coordinator this year, a new head coach, D'Amico Ryans, defensive minded guy, and Bobby Slowick coming over from 49ers. Here's the passing game coordinator, I think. So, you know what you get from a Kyle Shanahan system, and typically ends up being a good offense that relies on the running game. So, that could be good news for Damian Pierce or someone like Devin Singletary, who they brought in, and with C.J. Stroud coming in and being the best quarterback the Texans have had since Deshaun Watson, I think it's interesting for the wide receivers they got over there. So, Jared, I'm going to open up with you. I think I know where you're going with this. I think the Texans are a sneaky little buy over here with some of the skill guys. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. As a Cowboys fan that was born in Houston before they were a team, I would have – you know, I could have just switched my loyalty over if they just drafted JSN, got that beautiful Ohio State stack, getting Stroud at 2 and JSN at 12, but they decided to trade up to 3 and get Will Anderson. And they traded their first next year along with it. So I think they're going to be competing this year. This team is going to go out there and try to win games and not give the Cardinals a top two or three pick like people are expecting right now. And I think CJ Stroud is going to have that ability to come in and win a few games. They're going to have an easy schedule. They were terrible, so they get to play all the worst teams in each division, which is going to help them. Their division itself isn't the strongest, although, you know, there are a couple of good teams, you know, expected from this division. And I think we're going to see that Meshi is a better player. John Meshi, their wide receiver out of Alabama, is a better player than people remember. I think a lot of people coming into draft season last year thought Meche was going to fall, and then he ended up going in the second round. And, you know, obviously he was then forgotten about when he, you know, got his cancer diagnosis, but he's over that. And that's not something that you would then expect to come back this season. It's not an injury that's going to reappear. It's not something that's going to nag him this season. And Nico Collins has been gaining a bunch of hype, just kind of rising in value in fantasy players' minds and drafts right now. And I think if that's warranted, CJ Stroud is going to be able to get both of them, I think, the ball. You know, they're not, I don't think they're going to both be 1,000-yard receivers. I'm not going to say anything crazy like that. But I also don't think that the gap should be as big as it is right now. Nico Collins has now risen in, at least in best ball mania, he's like in a 10th round draft pick, and John Meshi's still like the 16th round. I don't really understand what that is. I understand Nico had a good target share last year, but, you know, Meche is healthy now and expects to be playing and was drafted highly to come in there and play. So also Tank Dell, who they drafted highly this year as well. I'm a little bit worried about his size, if he's going to get in there, have immediate production. Although, you know, Stroud did push for him. We've seen quarterbacks push for their guys before, and that doesn't always work out. So I'm a little bit worried, especially with his size, but he does have, you know, some great quick twitch ability, and he's working with really good route runners right now. I think, you know, we saw he was working out with guys like Jaylen Waddle and Zay Flowers, and I think OBJ, something like that. So, you know, I hope he can, but I'm definitely looking at Nico and Meche, especially with Mechie's value right now. Those are two guys I'm targeting for sure. Damian, I am a little bit worried. He kind of feels like a sell for me just because he's kind of valued right around where like Derrick Henry and J.K. Dobbins are on keep trade cut. I do like J.K. Dobbins a lot this year with the new Ravens offense and Derrick Henry just being a beast. That's really, you know, just kind of depends where your team's at with age versus playing ability. But I think I'd usually want Derrick Henry in most cases. So I'm kind of fading Damian in Dynasty in most places too. So what do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I agree with most of what you said. I do think the Texans are going to be pretty decent this year. I think a lot of people think that the Texans are going to be garbage because they had one of the top picks last year. They were garbage last year. I think D'Amico Ryan's coming in is going to change this culture a lot. He's going to change the way that this team plays football. I think D'Amico Ryan's is a phenomenal coach. I know it's early because he's never been a head coach of an NFL team before. But like we always know, these San Francisco coaches, they know their shit. And so this Texans team feels like that they're building their team the right way. They already have a very strong offensive line. They're building around the run game. They're bringing over a lot of the philosophies that Kyle Shanahan instills in the San Francisco 49ers offense, that's able to produce such a great team every single year. And so great offensive line, Damian Pierce, Devin Singletary in the backfield. And C.J. Stroud is kind of exactly the quarterback that you need to run that sort of system. C.J. Stroud is an extremely, extremely accurate passer of the football. He's very, very strong at timing routes. He's very precise with his throws. And so if you need C.J. Stroud to fit the ball into a tight window, he will do that. And for that reason, I think that Nico Collins is going to be a pretty solid player this year. I think that the hype might be getting a little bit out of hand with Nico Collins, but I think that it's slightly warranted because Nico Collins is going to probably be that deep threat option for the Texans, and CJ Stroud is just so phenomenal at throwing that deep ball. He's amazing at throwing the ball 30, 40, 50 yards down the field, and Nico Collins has that big body where he can go up and get it. So I'm very excited for this team. Perlman, you failed to mention the guy who I think has a chance to actually lead this team in targets. I think that's Dalton Schultz. Dalton Schultz is going to be featured in this offense. The Texans paid a decent amount of money to bring Dalton Schultz in. I think they paid him like $10 million. And so I think he's going to get used a pretty decent amount. We know over in San Francisco, they utilize George Kittle a ton in the passing game. I kind of expect this team to do something similar with Dalton Schultz. I know Dalton Schultz isn't nearly the level of athlete that George Kittle is, but Dalton Schultz can catch the ball. He can find space, and he can catch the ball in traffic. So I like Dalton Schultz to potentially lead this team in targets, actually.
He's got good hands. I think Schultz is going to have to earn that trust, though. Like Dak had the ultimate trust last year in Dalton Schultz and would feed him whenever he was in trouble. And Schultz, to his credit, you know, he caught a lot of balls, but he is not nearly the athlete, like you said, that George Kittle is. So, and he doesn't get open, I think, in the same way as a lot of those other, you know, elite tight ends. They did pay him a lot, but he's going to have to develop that chemistry early. And if those other guys are open, I think, you know, there's a real chance that they see the ball over him. But he's definitely a great security blanket if he can get that trust, because he has great hands. And so we'll see what Stroud wants to do with him there.
Yeah, like I said in my intro, I'm intrigued by the Texans this year. I think there's a lot of opportunity. And I think a lot of that opportunity just rests on Stroud. Like y'all were saying, it's a really good system for a rookie quarterback, because they try to make it easy on the quarterback. And by making it easy on the quarterback, you get the ball to the good players, and then they work with their magic with it. And I think people are valuing the Texans pass catchers as if Stroud's going to be below average. So I think it's an interesting bet, because we all really like Stroud to target the pass catchers like Collins, like Mechie, even like someone like Robert Woods, Dalton Schultz, because I think it's a good bet to say that, hey, you know, I think C.J. Stroud, even if he's average, you win that bet, you know. So I like looking at it from that way. And I'm excited for C.J. Stroud. That shades of like the Jaguars last year for me, where they just kind of like put it all together. Good coaching, ragtag group of receivers, bringing a new tight end. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. One more thing I want to touch on was the backfield. I have no idea what to do with Dameon Pierce. You know, Dameon Pierce is my guy last year. I thought he looked amazing running. Ironically, one of the things I hyped him on was his pass blocking, but that was a bit below average last year, which concerns me a little bit. You know, but again, this offense could take a step forward. And I thought Dameon Pierce looked good last year on a horrible team. And at times they ran the offense through him. So, you know, I feel like he'd be a good running back for that zone blocking scheme. I think he screams sell to me, but I feel like the market's already adjusted for that. And at this point, he's just kind of a hold. And that, you know, maybe he's, you know, a guy that gets like 60% of running back snaps in like an average offense. You know, it's probably going to be something like that. If he stays healthy, he'd probably end up at like RB 20 to 8 points per game.
It's perfect. I have him at RB 22 in my rankings.
Yeah. So I think he would be around there in points per game. Nothing thrilling, nothing great, but I don't think that he's just going to be cast aside like some people think late round draft pick running backs are. I think he's too talented for that. He's not like last year, his success didn't come just because he was running like how Elijah Mitchell was in like an amazing offensive system. His success came because of his skill. So I think that that will follow him. So I don't really think he's a sell right now. If you could get like what do you think a fair price for Pierce is, like late first, something like that, hypothetically?
I wouldn't personally pay a late first for Dameon Pierce.
It's one of those where you wouldn't pay a late first, but the Pierce owner probably wouldn't accept an early second.
Exactly. So like yeah. he's a hold for me too. Mm-hmm. Kind of. I mean, you said it yourself. Like last year, the offense ran through Dameon Pierce. I think because now the quarterback, the receivers are going to be average, the offense doesn't need to run through Dameon Pierce anymore. Dameon Pierce will still get his workload. He'll get his carries. He'll get a few targets here and there. But I think last year might have been his ceiling, just because he was utilized just as the entire offense. Everything ran through him.
All right, ready to move on to the Tennessee Titans? Let's do it. So the Titans, they just made a big splash by going out and getting DeAndre Hopkins. That was their big move of the offseason. They drafted Tyjae Spears and Will Levis in the draft. Those are some moves of relevance. Still got Vrabel there. They did make a change in the offense coordinator by getting Tim Kelly. He was their passing game coordinator last year, I think. He spent some time being the Texans' offensive coordinator before that. And yeah, the Titans seem to be like they want to contend this year after some people were thinking maybe it was time to break it down and start building it back up. So, Josh, opening thoughts on the Titans here, the AFC South division winners, right? Right?
Yeah, the AFC. I have them winning the AFC South division. This team is really good. I think people forget how solid the Tennessee Titans are. I mean, they have a phenomenal coach in Mike Vrabel. Even last year, I mean, people think that the Titans suck because of their performance last year. They started off the season 7-3. They closed the season on a 7-game losing streak because Ryan Tannehill was dealing with the high ankle sprain. They put in Josh Dobbs, Malik Willis, a quarterback. It was a mess over there in Tennessee. And the Titans had won the division the 2 years prior. So that's why I have them just coming right back up to the top, winning the division this year. And just like it did last year, or just like it's done for the last four or five years, this offense is going to run through Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is my RB6 in my rankings. He has potential to go even higher. But like this dude on a bad team last year, or we'll say it was a bad team because they didn't perform up to people's expectations, he still put up 1,500 rushing yards, 13 rushing touchdowns. And actually, this was the first time in Derrick Henry's career where he was utilizing the passing game. He had a career high, 41 targets, 33 receptions, and 400 receiving yards. So I expect that sort of trend to continue. And this offense is going to run through Derrick Henry. And the passing game is going to be much, much improved by adding DeAndre Hopkins into the mix. I know people are a little bit down on Treylon Burks because DeAndre Hopkins has moved over to Tennessee. I actually like it a lot for Treylon Burks. Not for this year, but in terms of a dynasty perspective, we're looking over Treylon Burks' career. And Treylon Burks now gets to learn from one of the best wide receivers of our generation. DeAndre Hopkins, I think, is still elite. He's still, like, even in last year, he only played in, what, like, 9-10 games. If you take his 9 games that he played in, he put up 64 receptions, 717 receiving yards, and 3 touchdowns. If you extrapolate that over a full 17-game sample, that he was on pace to put up 120 receptions, 1,350 yards, and 6 touchdowns, which is still a wide receiver one in the NFL. At 30 years old. So I expect DeAndre Hopkins to kind of elevate this entire offense because now defenses have to decide. Are you going to stack the box to stop Derrick Henry? Or are you going to play cover two to try to guard DeAndre Hopkins? It's like pick your poison. Like this team is going to attack you in so many different ways. That's why I have the Titans as being one of the best offenses in the NFL this year.
Yeah, I mean, people forget how much injury the Titans have been dealing with too. 2 years ago when they won the division, they were the most injured team in the league. And then, like you said, this past year, once Ryan Tannehill went down, they didn't have a suitable replacement at the quarterback position, and so they just couldn't win games. And 2 years ago, they really did it without Derrick Henry for a long stretch. They still ended up winning the division, and it was really impressive down the stretch. So I have no issue with the Titans winning the division. I think they absolutely could. Mike Vrabel is an absolute beast, and getting DeAndre Hopkins is you know, 100% huge boost for the offense. I think Ryan Tannehill is still the best quarterback there in that room. Even though they drafted Will Levis, people thought, you know, he might go top 5, top 10, top 15, first round, ended up falling into the second round. Titans scooped him up. I think he definitely has some time to develop. And apparently Malik Willis has been working on his game in the offseason. I would say there's a chance that there's a similar chance Malik Willis takes over the offense as, like, I just think Ryan Tannehill is the best quarterback still there. He's very accurate. He's, you know, makes good decisions. He's just, you know, not a mobile player. And if Will Levis and or Malik Willis, you know, end up being accurate, they have that mobility to go along with it. But they're just not nearly as accurate as Ryan Tannehill is at this point in his career. So I don't expect any quarterback change this year at all, unless Ryan Tannehill goes through another injury. I don't see a way that happens because the Titans are almost certainly going to be in it throughout the entirety of the year in the race, in the playoff hunt. So, yeah, I think Tannehill could be a good value in a lot of places. You know, one thing you didn't really talk much on Treylon. It's interesting, you know, kind of it could go either way how this D-Hop signing impacts Treylon Burks. Obviously, didn't quite live up to expectations last year, being a first-round receiver. You know, big body, A.J. Brown replacement. They traded him to Philly, did draft Treylon. But this is going to allow Treylon to go back to more of the position that he played in college that got him drafted into the first round. And it also allows him to learn the X position from a stud receiver like DeAndre Hopkins, you know, who has all the route running ability, has fantastic hands, a great mindset, you know, has been working his whole career, working his tail off. And so I think this is a really good thing for Treylon, but it just doesn't necessarily mean it's this year, but it also, it really could be this year because it allows Treylon to go to a flanker role, slot role. Maybe they put him out of the backfield and put Derrick Henry somewhere else. Who knows? But probably not, but it means Treylon doesn't have to be the X at all times. So I think that could really be good for his value, even if it caps his potential target ceiling. I think it, you know, in the long term, especially, it's 100% a good thing to have someone like DeAndre Hopkins to learn from. So I think buying the dip on Treylon that's inevitably coming is a good thing. It's already a bit here. I think, you know, buying low on Treylon is good. He's still that same guy that we all hoped for. So, yeah, I think it could be good in both the short and the long term, but we'll see.
Yeah. I think kind of building off of that one more thing, I did forget to talk in depth about Treylon Burks, but yeah, he's definitely going to benefit from seeing wide receiver two coverage now. And the secondaries in the AFC South are a little bit suspect. So I think this Titans receiving room is just going to eat the AFC South secondaries alive. Having D-Hop and Treylon out there, even Chigakwonkwo could see a little bit, and then Derrick Henry just going to run all over them. I'm super excited for the Titans this year.
Oh yeah, we kind of didn't really talk about Chig, but I mean, I'm glad I was grabbing Greg Dulcich everywhere at the same spot, because I think this definitely hurts Chig a lot. I don't expect a breakout coming for sure. His value right now is definitely overhyped for where he is. It could still be a good long-term play, but this year I don't expect it with D-Hop and the rest of the guys there.
Yeah, I was going to bring up that about Chig actually, because I didn't realize how small he was and how unlikely it is for a tight end of his size to really break out, being just 6'2", 238. That's not that big. He seemed almost like a gadget player last year at times, which led to some good numbers, but I'm not sure he'd be able to do too much beyond that. But otherwise, yeah, I don't have too much to add about the Titans. I think Tannehill could be a sneaky buy now that he's got Hopkins there. Clearly, they're going to stick with him this year, and they're backing him, and he's the best quarterback on that roster for sure. I'm curious to see if how Tyjae Spears is able to get any involvement this year. You know, all it takes is one Henry injury and it's emptiness behind him. I mean, now that Hassan Haskins is gone, I mean, they got
Joyce Chestnut. Don't forget about Joyce Chestnut. Come on, don't disrespect the man.
Hey, you didn't mention him, so I thought you forgot. I was about to bring him up. But I think Spears has the leg up on him for sure with the draft capital. And yeah, with Treylon, I think the dynasty community is pretty smart now and is kind of like being like, you know, we shouldn't like buy sell low on Treylon just because there's a 31-year-old DeAndre Hopkins there. Wait until DeAndre Hopkins has a couple big games, then there might be a really good good window to buy at that time. But yeah, Texans are looking to win, and Mike Vrabel we trust. I think this will be Titans. A pretty good division. Titans, thank you. I was reading Texans. I think this will be a pretty interesting division this year after a pretty down year last year, and I'm looking forward to watch it. I think each team has some really interesting storylines.
Yeah, I agree. Let's go. Let's see what Josh has to say about the next team.
All right, Josh. So here, let's make sure let's make sure everyone from Jacksonville can hear you. Okay, speak up.
Okay, I will.
All right, so Josh, why don't you get us started on the Jacksonville Jaguars? Go ahead.
Jacksonville Jaguars, I have them finishing in last in the division because they have to play all of the one seeds. They have to play a first-placed AFC team schedule. So they have to play the Bills, the Chiefs, the Bengals. It's not easy. And people were telling me, like, oh, The Jags have an easy schedule. I don't think that's the case. It just doesn't feel right to me that when a team has to play all of the division champs, that it's an easy schedule. I just don't agree with that. But we're here for fantasy, so I won't get into the win totals anymore. But from a fantasy perspective, I still do think that this offense is going to be pretty solid. I do think the addition of Calvin Ridley into this wide receiver room is going to make it pretty messy from a fantasy perspective, because we know Christian Kirk is an elite target earner. Calvin Ridley is an elite target earner. They just paid Evan Ingram a huge bag. Zay Jones showed prominence last year. And then they also have Tank Bigsby and Travis Etienne in the backfield. The way that I have it ranked out right now, I have Calvin Ridley and Christian Kirk almost producing similar numbers, like almost identical numbers, for two reasons. Christian Kirk already has that chemistry with Trevor Lawrence. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to continue to use Christian Kirk as kind of that security blanket because he's found him to kind of be that all reliable. Calvin Ridley is going to be phenomenal this year. I mean, I think Calvin Ridley is going to be a very, very strong target in this offense. He's going to be putting on a bunch of highlights. We're going to see him every Sunday on Red Zone. But I do have this Jaguars offense as a whole not scoring as much as most people anticipate them to.
Oh man, I actually have a really hard time with the Jags. Like I feel like they are it like there is so much ambiguity because you have a guy who feels like the better receiver, Calvin Ridley, coming in, taking over a guy who is paid just out the ass in Christian Kirk.
Stupid money.
And so you have them kind of battling for the top wide receiver spot, a guy like Evan Ingram who just got who was franchise tagged originally and then, you know, signed for his 3 years a couple of days ago. You have Travis Etienne, who people think can catch the ball, even though really doesn't have very many receptions to his name. And then Tank Bigsby, who's kind of an all-around guy who they just drafted in the third round. And then not to mention Zay Jones, who was also a very effective receiver last year. I mean, I think it all makes all points to Trevor being a great quarterback, but he's already priced like that. So not really any kind of buy window or anything there with Trevor. And it's a bit scary because now Calvin is kind of, at least on Keep Trade Cut, ranked around guys like Michael Pittman, Terry McLaurin, JMO, JK Dobbins. Like, I'm not sure what I would do in those situations, but I have seen, you know, when you go in and you're actually in your drafts, Calvin Ridley falls to like the eighth round, and he feels like a snag every time there because those other guys around him don't feel like they fall that far. So he does have age concerns, but I love Calvin Ridley. I've been on this train for years. He only has one top five, receiving year to his name, but a lot of the top receivers respect his game. He has a really high average depth of target. He averages like 15 yards per catch. When he's healthy and being a high target earner, he's kind of like Chris Olave, like that. You know, it just those are great targets to earn down the field, and you earn a lot of them. He's really like he could be extremely effective, especially with a really good quarterback in Trevor. So, I want to draft more of Calvin in redraft, but he goes super high. But in dynasty, he feels like a definite buy, especially in startups. And I shy away a bit from Christian Kirk, but there's so much money tied up there. I think they can easily both be really effective. I should draft more of Christian Kirk. I think that the Jags are going to be a really good offense, and we'll see about their defense. They've historically not been great, but they could definitely be better this year. But I think it's just a plus for everybody. I think everyone should be good. I think they all have really good price values, but I think Tank's a really good buy where he's valued right now. And yeah, I think it should just be a really good offense, but is a lot of ambiguity, so it gets hard for me sometimes to pull the trigger.
I want to ask you guys something. So we just said Christian Kirk is paid out the ass. So Christian Kirk makes $18 million a year. He got a how many years? What is that? 4 years,
He has
$72 million
like
contract.
30 with like the fourth they can get out of or something like that.
Yeah. So he's making $18 million a year, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
Okay, I don't
He's
know
the
why I
15th
thought.
highest paid.
Go
Sorry,
ahead,
go ahead.
sorry. I just thought Christian Kirk was the got $100 million for some reason. 72, not that bad, not that bad.
Still a lot, but he's the 15th highest paid wide receiver in the NFL from a annual salary perspective. What do you guys think Calvin Ridley's salary is? What's his contract? Do you guys know off the top of your head?
His rookie deal.
Yeah, but it is the 5th year option, so it's probably like 11? 7 million, 8 million.
He's making $2.7 million this year.
No way.
Yeah. Christian Kirk
not have placed any bets.
Christian Kirk makes six times the money that Calvin Ridley makes. So I wonder if there's any implications there for fantasy.
Hell of a trade by the Jags. I mean, they gave up a second round pick like this year to get him. So, or last year, I guess. But great trade because he's worth a million, way more than $1 million more than that, about $10 to $15 million more than that. But yeah, exactly. It is tough because Jacksonville pays so much to Christian Kirk, but Calvin Ridley is amazing. So it's tough, and they have good options outside of that as well with Ingram, and they even drafted Brenton Strange, a guy who no one talks about at all, in the second round this year. Like people completely forget about him. Maybe he is just that blocking tight end, but you know he was drafted in the second round, and now they have you know Ingram back for multiple years. It's just they got a lot of weapons, and it all definitely points up for Trevor. But it's tough for any of them to really be buys besides maybe Tank Bigsby at his cost right now.
What do you guys think? How do you guys think the target share plays out this year between Zay, Ridley, Christian Kirk, Evan Engram?
A lot of mouths to feed for sure. I would guess that Ridley and Kirk would be about the same, maybe around like 21-22%.
Okay.
I'd bump Engram down a little bit to like 19%. And then I think I would move Zay down to maybe like 14.
14?
With,
okay.
With Perlman. Like everyone else being kind of like a mix.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably put Ridley and Kirk closer to like, yeah, I mean, I guess you said like 21. I put him at like 20, but I put Ingram a little bit lower, maybe like 15, Zay at like 12. And then I'd put a split between Etienne and Bigsby at like probably 12 as well between the two of them. And then, yeah, I don't know, maybe a couple to the other guys. You still got Jamal Agnew with maybe a couple percent. Maybe Brent Strange gets a couple percent. I don't know. I feel like that doesn't quite add up, but
I do want to hop in though. And I want to say that I am excited for the Jaguars this year. I think they're building a really good team. I really appreciate their effort last year to do whatever they could in a bare free agent market to surround Trevor Lawrence with some talent. They had a really good scouting process to bring in Ingram and really fit into that Doug Peterson tight end role. They had to throw a bag at Christian Kirk, and hey, you know what? It worked out. It looks way less silly now. And Kirk is Lawrence's like best friend from a receiver perspective. It really is just perfect to have a guy like that. And now they've brought in a guy on cheap financially, but also they didn't have to pay a lot for him. They're taking a bit of a risk in getting Ridley, but I mean, this is looking like a firepower team this year. I am very excited to watch these Jaguars play. I actually think Christian Kirk's a really good value right now. I think people are devaluing him more than they should with the arrival of Calvin Ridley, but I still think Kirk's going to get his for sure. And yeah, I'm excited for the Jags this year. So just wanted to give some hype for them, because I think we've been a little bit down, but I am still excited. I'm with the Jaguars fans. I think they'll get more than 6.5. I have to go against the model, but yeah, I think the Jags are gonna be great this year. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think they should be a good team too. I definitely think with the weapons that they have, there's all the opportunity in the world. Trevor showed last year that he should. You know, that he is improving, that his rookie year was a fluke, that the Urban Meyer season was done. So as long as Trevor keeps progressing the way that he should, the Golden Boy should elevate this offense and allow all those guys to eat, and especially the guys who are undervalued will just really help your teams a lot, like Christian Kirk, that people are kind of forgetting about. Not forgetting about, but putting on the back burner for Calvin Ridley.
All right, any other thoughts about the Jags?
Nope.
All right, we can go ahead and wrap it up. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in, listening. Always happy to be here. Happy to go through the AFC South. Like I said, I think it should be a really fun, should be a really fun division this year, especially considering just like how
they got two rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah, we really have no idea. I mean, the Jags, can they take
and two new head coaches?
Yeah, I mean, how are the head coaches, how are the rookie quarterbacks? Really looking forward to it. I think it'll be a really fun year for this division and some good, interesting buys out there. Go get the guys. Appreciate y'all.